It's time for the Apple Watchcast, monitoring coronavirus spread and symptoms with Apple Watch, Apple patents for HomePod with camera and 3D tracing pencil, a gesture control watch band, a tracking sensor for running shoes, and is Apple getting rid of Beats? Plus reviews of Apple Spring Sport Loop bands, dog print watch bands, and much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/applewatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 323, recorded Tuesday, April 7th, 2020. The Sweatpants of Watch Bands.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
Hello, it's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent and Chris. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey.
Good evening.
Yeah. Hey, good evening. Yeah, sorry about the little flub up front. It helps when you click on the right thing. I was actually turning on and off the logo up here instead of actually playing the video. So,
well, I'm going to go on Facebook on my phone here because we're Facebook Live, right?
Yes,
Tom?
We are Facebook Live, and we will be answering questions hopefully throughout the show, if not definitely at near the end when we get to our listener feedback section. So, if you have any questions, hit us up, and we'll let you know if we can answer them. At this point.
Sure. I'm trying to see if I can see all the, if there's comments coming in.
I don't see any at the moment.
Here we go.
Let's see. No comments.
I'll say hello.
Okay, that'll work.
There we go. I got see, yeah, someone has to get it started. Once you get it started,
yeah. See, there we go. There's your comment right there. Hello. So hello, Chris. and by the way, I'm gonna apologize. We're doing this live. And we're doing a video show. So if you're listening to this on just audio or normal show, I apologize if you can't see anything. You go back to our website at applewatchcast.com, and from there you can actually be able to play this video once we're done. And I've got it posted.
You got our first comment.
Yes. Let's see. Hi from Scotland. All right. Martin McKean. Hello, Martin. Good to
play it over there.
Good to have you join us. Yeah, that's, I don't know, what time is it in?
5 plus, 6 plus?
Someone else from Tennessee. I didn't even know there's a city called Alamo, Tennessee.
Well, Kathy,
I'm in Knoxville, so I'm not sure how far I am from you. I'll have to Google where Alamo, Tennessee is.
Well, I recognize Kathy's name. Kathy's been a longtime listener, I think.
All right.
Yeah, recognize that. So anyway, we're going to do this video show again. We've done a few of these. Hopefully we'll get better at them if we do more of them. Not sure. But I want to apologize because I've got my camera's in the middle right here when I'm looking at you, but I've got a monitor here and I got a monitor here. So I'm going to be jumping back and forth throughout the show. That's why I'm not staring right at the camera. So don't get concerned if I look away. We got a number of interesting things happening. Let's see. First of all, Martin says it's 12:35 AM. Okay, Martin, you're up late.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Thanks for staying up late.
That's awesome.
Appreciate that. Yeah. We got a number of different stories to talk about this week. It sounds a little insignificant compared to what's going on in the world right now, but I think it's nice to have a little diversion now and then to kind of get your mind off of things. So we're going to focus on the Apple Watch. First story up here I want to mention is this comes to us from 9to5Mac, and of course it comes from Zach. And anything from 9to5Mac that includes the watch and running They exactly. Zach is all over it, isn't he? He's just completely
typically.
Very typically. Yeah. This is pretty wild. This is a it's called Nerve. Is that right? Nerve Run, NURVV Run.
That's what I figured it was.
Yeah, and I'll put this up here so everybody can kind of see what it looks like. Here's the article. Maybe I should change us here. Let's see. Oops. No, that didn't work.
We're dancing.
Let's try this again. Yeah, can you tell I'm not used to doing this? We'll see. There it is. Okay, right. That's what I wanted to do. Bingo. All right.
Bingo now, City.
Now I know how to do it. Anyway, this is called Nerve, and this is a tracking sensor that goes in your shoe. And if you remember back in the day, Nike had one of these types of sensors for your mm-hmm. shoes. Mm-hmm. I think I had every version of it that they ever made. You could buy a little plastic holder that you could clip your shoelaces through, because you could buy Nike shoes with the sensor built into them, into the sole of the shoe. And Nike's never fit me, so I always had to buy the external sensor. That's mm-hmm. kind of what this does, but it actually does more than that. This has 16 sensors that will measure data, get this, 1,000 times a second. It will measure your step length, your foot strike, your pronation, balance. This is what it looks like. So these are sensors that go into your shoes, and then the thing clips on the side, and it works with the Apple Watch. Yeah. That is insane.
It is. I think knowing like your step distance would be kind of neat, because that can help be more efficient. But those other metrics are kind of neat as well.
Oh, this is fantastic. If you're a runner, it lets you know exactly what your foot strike is. Because I remember back in the day when I would go into kind of a high-end shoe store, right? They had every mm-hmm. brand you could think of. Everything's online now, but back then that was the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And they had professional people there who knew all about this sort of stuff. And when you tried on a shoe, they would have you get on like a treadmill, and they would watch you run. And they could tell if you were pronating or underpronate or whatever you were doing to correct your run. But now it's all in sensors.
Well, today they do it, Tom. If you go to like a Fleet Feet, you take your shoes off, and in your socks, you stand on a platform, and they pick pictures of you.
Okay.
And they do the same thing, and they kind of fit you with the shoe based on what they see in the video, or it's a little video actually.
Right. Now this is a little pricey. It's $299.
It is
$300 for this whole system. It comes in, I think, four different sizes. I think it actually says it's available on Apple.com, Apple's website. They sell it as well. I would love to rent one of these. Just to get me the info, and then turn it back in.
We would like to review this if anyone's listening.
Yes, there you go. Anybody at Nerve is listening. We'd love to just test one of these out. 9.5 shoe size, by the way.
that is kind of neat.
That is pretty cool.
I bet if you email them, they might take care of you.
Yeah, maybe. But I'll tell you what. I'm sure Zach's going to get one, and we'll get the scoop from Zach.
A good idea.
See how it actually works. But I thought that was a great idea. I can see this at some point being built into shoes
mm-hmm.
when it gets cheaper, right? A little expensive right now to do it, but that's kind of neat.
Once you get it, you can do a step-by-step analysis.
Step-by-step. Perfect. all right. What else is going on in the news? Let me stop. Let me turn that off there. Spotify. You guys fans of Spotify? Do you use Spotify?
I don't. I use Apple Music.
Okay.
Vincent? Yeah, once I switched up to Apple Music, I stopped using Spotify.
Okay. So this isn't for us, but I'm sure it's for a lot of people out there. Spotify now supports Siri voice commands on your Apple Watch.
All right.
You have to be running watchOS 6 to do it, but it does support that now. Now, it has supported, I think, since they said iOS 13 on the iPhones and iPads, but now mm-hmm. it's actually on the watch. So
that's great.
Pretty good news.
Yeah.
If you're a Spotify fan. Yep. Now let's talk about the HomePod for a moment. Apple is offering their employees a discount on the HomePod right now, as well as Beats headphones and many other products. And apparently it's to clear out stock. So this kind of runs, this kind of confirms some of the stuff we've been hearing about a new version of the HomePod coming out and a new version of Beats headphones coming out. So that's kind of interesting. The price is kind of crazy. A HomePod normally $299, the employee can get it for $150. Half price?
Wow, it's a good deal.
That's quite a discount. Now they also are offering discounts on the Apple Watch Series 4 to employees, as well as some of the bands. They can get a sport band for $19.60. How'd they come up with that number? Is that
really? The 60-cent thing is kind of odd. I can understand the 19.
Why? It's normally $50. I mean, half price would be 25. Where's this 19.60 coming from?
They wanted to get it below 20.
Yeah, okay. And it also mentions, I love this, they can also get Apple Watch Series 4, the Hermes, for $750. What does that normally go for?
That's like $1,050 or something?
Maybe. Yeah, it's got to be for that version.
Yeah. Anyway. So not quite the same discount.
No, not quite
the same. As far as I can tell. I just made that up. It might be more than that. But
yeah, so that's kind of nice. Now, kind of related to that, let's jump into a couple of patents here. And the first one involves the HomePod. And this may be one of the reasons why Apple's trying to lower the stock. They got some new ones coming out. And what I'm kind of blown away by both of these things. Mm-hmm. The HomePod, the new one, is supposed to have a built-in camera that will give Siri eyes in the room and will deliver next-generation commands and long-range Face ID. Think about that for a second. Long-range Face ID. Alarms. That camera can Face ID you from across the room.
It'd be perfect for an alarm system.
That is, it's crazy. What they call gaze controls. Okay, so that if you, let me go ahead and share this screen so you can see this little diagram, because I love how these diagrams are always kind of, I don't want to say cheesy, but they're a little weird looking.
That's basic.
Yeah, definitely basic.
What's a patent office, not a not a marketing organization, Tom?
That's true. They don't have to. Let's see, where is that?
And do you want a camera in your iPad, HomePod? Do you really want one?
A camera?
Is that what you just said?
I don't know. This could be kind of neat. Now I can't.
I was like the facial recognition camera at first or something like that, so it can tell who you are when you're talking to it.
But look at this.
Yeah.
So she's saying, turn on the table lamp. There's a couple of lamps in the room, but the gaze control is, first of all, going to know it's her, and it's going to hear that command. But what I thought was even more interesting was that this one here, this guy is looking at the HomePod, and as he says, turn on the lamp, he turns and looks at the lamp he wants HomePod to turn on, and it turns it on. So it's following his gaze. Is that creepy? sort of.
A little bit, a little bit.
You can add extra cameras to this too in the room, and it will Siri will take it, the image from there as well. If you're looking away from Siri and you say it, as long as another camera sees you, it will do it.
Wow. Okay. Interesting stuff. That's
wow.
Probably works better with it, many cameras around.
Yeah, here it is. He's looking at it that way. And there's a camera here as well up on the shelf.
Right.
So he's got, it knows what he's looking at.
I don't know. You can easily just name, you're going to name your devices anyway. You do it in the home app and just say, hey, so-and-so, turn on floor lamp. And it should just turn on.
Right. But I think they're getting to the point, or they want to get to the point where you don't have to be that specific.
Yeah.
That it's more natural to look at the light and say, turn on that light. and have
it's
it just
natural
come
to go turn on the light.
Well, that's true. Yeah, how hard is that?
I'm standing right next to it. Turn on.
Light, turn on. Well, maybe your hands are full. You're walking through the room. You want it to turn
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Or you come downstairs in the morning and it's dark and you want a light on, you just can ask it to turn a light on.
Yeah. Now here's an image of where what they've kind of drawn up where the camera would be on the HomePod. But I don't know. It also has this personal recognition, personal response recognition. It knows that it was who made the request and would speak back to you with your name. Isn't this what we kind of wanted from like the Star Trek days, the computer to just know everything for us? Right?
Yeah. I guess so. You do, but this, I guess, you know, I was thinking it could Sherlock cameras, but it won't, because this you can't buy five home pods for your home. It'd be a really expensive security system if you used it in every room.
Right. But you could use other cameras. It'll link too.
That's correct. If you can use other cameras and link in, that'd be good. And indoor outdoor cameras too, because you probably want that as well.
Is this the beginning of Apple's security system too?
Could be.
Apple Home.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do it today. I mean, that's what I did. I set my HomePod to trigger an alarm when the door's open, when the alarm's on. Didn't take too long to do it.
Yeah. This is wild. So, and by the way, it's just a patent. Okay. It is
just a patent.
Okay. Darn.
It's not coming out this year. I think there's a new HomePod this year, but it's not going to have this feature. It'd be kind of wild if it did and they kept it quiet, but, I don't think so. In fact, the rumor for the new HomePod is just a cheaper version of it.
Well, hopefully cheaper version with a better interface, because now that you're home all the time and you're watching Apple TV, it's great to use Siri to do things. And right now you can like pause, start, but you can't do a lot of things that you'd like to do using Siri and the HomePod on your Apple TV. So hopefully more commands will come out.
Yeah, that's, I think, another part of this article. What they were saying was next-gen commands. So yeah,
that's what they need.
Hopefully it does more than that. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. And then another patent I want to talk about involves the pencil. And that didn't just click over. Let me get that called up here. The pencil, a new version of it, would be pretty interesting. Let's see, where is this? It would help if I could read what's going on here. There it is. So this one says that future Apple Pencil could be used to trace 3D objects for easy augmented reality generation. This, again, is a pretty wild thing, using cameras and triangulation to detect and then transmit when the pencil is in contact with a surface and when it's moved and all that sort of stuff. You could use an entire table to sketch on or to trace drawings to create 3D versions of them. Or any object in real life you could trace over with the pencil. They're talking about it having tracking various methods, including one or more of a motion and orientation sensor, a camera, or electromagnetic or sound-based triangulation. Or probably all of the above would use to do that. They're saying it may even be possible to sketch in thin air without touching anything.
Wow.
And have it draw. So that's pretty crazy.
You just hold the pencil up and just imagine what you're drawing and it would show up?
Yeah. But look at this, the fact that you could draw around this object and create it on the screen, trace it.
That's pretty
cool.
That is. That would be very helpful.
But this image here, are those like sensors or are those camera? What are those?
Yeah, for triangulation.
Yeah.
Seems so.
That's pretty wild.
I've always been fascinated with like Microsoft's, where they're going with the HoloLens and being able to build things virtually in a world. And I can see this application being used for, you know, engineering 3D things. You know, never could imagine. I mean, there's even a medical type of measurement or kind of rendering things out use for this.
Yeah, there's a lot of places they could go with this.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty wild. Vincent, real quick, can you turn up your volume just a little bit?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just turn your mic volume up there. Just a touch. It's driving me crazy because I'm used to controlling it here, but I can't with the video. I'm like, I'm reaching for the knob and I can't do anything. So yeah, see if you can get that up a little bit.
That with this thing.
No, that's better.
That's a little better.
I guess it's the settings input. I'll see what it
is. Yeah, okay. That might do it. Let's see here. Kathy says, since you're talking about the HomePod, oh, here, let me put this on screen if I can. Where is it? Since you're talking about the HomePod, do you know if there is a RoboVac-like Roomba that works nicely with Apple's operating system? Most seem to talk about it working with Alexa. I don't see a lot touting that it will work with Apple products. I recently got a Roomba, Kathy, and there is a way. I haven't gotten into it yet, but there is a way with the, what is it called?
Homebridge?
It's something like that. Or if, what is it? If this than that.
Yeah, yeah, you can do, it's not simple. I can tell you that.
Yeah,
I,
it's not, I looked at it. It's not simple. It can be done, mm-hmm. but it's not simple. And no, it does not, Roombas do not work with
they don't
HomeKit yet. So unfortunately, if anybody knows of any that do, hit us up in the comments and we'll talk about that. But let's see what else is going on here in the news. We've got a few interesting things. This first one here, this is from a company called Detect. Because a lot of things going on with the coronavirus and trying to track it with your watch, which is sounds like a great idea. I think we're a little early mm-hmm. on that. But if we could, I think it'd be pretty cool. This is a company called Detect. It's a health study. So they're saying not just the Apple Watch, but your wearable might be an early warning system, okay? This is from Scripps Research. And what they're tracking here, I think, is your heart rate. I think there's a few other things they might be tracking. Mm-hmm. But you give them permission to do this. They track it through all these different sources, and apparently they can then learn more about when people are what happens when you're going fighting off a virus or you're sick. So they can help to, I guess, create apps or things that'll help let you know early when you're getting mm-hmm. something. And that's kind of the goal, is to identify areas with viral outbreaks quickly so they can give an early warning that might someday give public health officials more time to take action. So that's a great goal. You can download, it's My Data Helps is the name of it in the App Store. And sign up. I might be doing that after the show here.
It's like Dark Sky, but telling you that there's a viral outbreak coming next.
Coming, heading your way. Viral outbreak for the next 20 minutes. Yeah.
So Tom, is Detect the company that's doing the research, or is Detect the front end and there's some company behind it doing the research?
Detect, it's Scripps Research.
Scripps Research, all right.
And Detect stands for Digital Engagement and Tracking for Early Control and Treatment.
That's the name of the app or program.
That's that's the name of the program, I guess. But it says download My Data Helps. Mm-hmm. So that must be the name of the app. But
there you go.
But Detect is the program, I guess, in which it's working. Somebody worked really hard to get that to get that to come out to be the word
the acronym?
Yeah. They worked hard at that one.
Pick the word first and then build the acronym second.
Yeah, but six letters, man, that's a tough one.
That's hard, yeah.
Yeah, but it worked.
You know what's interesting? And I don't need to be, I'm not like a conspiracy theorist or anything, but if he had something like this in the Hunan province of China in November mm-hmm. and all this data kind of came out, do you think the public health officials could act better, faster, or they would just shut it down faster? You know what I mean? Because there's conspiracy theorists saying that the data was shut down and that's what caused the whole problem in the first place. If you had something like this, you could opt to be public or not, you know, and if something was like this was happening, the data would be public itself and tell everyone something was happening versus just medical doctors. I don't know if I'm being clear or not, but
yeah,
it could really help with public knowledge.
I think that's what they did in Taiwan with GPS and making sure that you're basically following people's phones. And I was thinking about that, what you were saying, that watch will probably have to relay location data as well, right?
Well, I think it was a matter in China where you had to have a certain app on your phone, and that's what they tracked you with.
Oh, great.
But it worked. In this situation, it actually worked. It could tell you, they could send you a text, say, hey, Vincent, you are on a train where four people have contracted the virus. You need to stay home for 2 weeks. You know, that kind of spooky stuff. But it did, I think, help them contain it to some degree. But, you know, this brings up the whole issue here. We are so close to being able to do this, right? For your watch to tell you you've got the early signs of a flu or a cold or an illness. We're just not there yet, but we're so close. If we, if this was only accelerated by a couple of years, we probably would have had it for this. But I think going forward, this definitely will be something that I think Apple should be all over this. I know other companies are doing stuff, but Apple itself should dedicate a team. Tim Cook should tell a team at Apple, your job is to have some sort of app to kind of predict illness of some sort to some degree within the next year. They could do it. They've got some very talented people there. They've got the technology. And we're almost there. The one thing the watch doesn't have is a temperature sensor.
You can do that with a laser.
Yeah. Yeah. Other devices have it. Pod. Other devices have it. Yeah. Your HomePod.
Hold up your forehead like this.
The HomePod has an infrared camera on it. It's a heat signature. It can tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My watch didn't like me doing that at all for some reason.
What happened?
Our favorite person started doing stuff and I didn't even say her name. I just held it up and
she's chiming in there.
She's getting a little frisky.
But that kind of brings up our next article here. This is from 9to5Mac, Ben Lovejoy. Smartwatch is helping to monitor the coronavirus spread, but the Apple Watch is limited in doing this. That was apparently they're doing this in Germany through Apple Watch and other devices. The public health authority launched a smartwatch app on Tuesday in conjunction with a company called Thrive, Thryve, to help monitor the spread of COVID-19 and to analyze whether measures to contain the pandemic are working. Okay, so this is they're getting vital signs from volunteers wearing smartwatches or fitness trackers, including pulse, temperature and sleep to analyze whether they are symptomatic of the flu-like illness. So this is very similar to what we were just talking about. But unfortunately, the Apple Watch can only do it's really good at your heart. It can help during sleep if you wear it when you sleep, as I do, but it can't help at all with the body temperature yet. The does nothing for that. And that's kind of a key component of this. So get with it, Apple. You need to get this done.
You know, it also makes these studies more effective as you can just get millions of people so fast. And we've talked about that many times where just five years ago, you couldn't do this because you'd have to sign everyone up. And it was a long process. Now go on a website and click a box and you're in.
Yeah, it doesn't take much at all.
Yeah. And my gosh, you can just get so much data so fast and you could probably accelerate every study.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's what I'm saying. Apple needs to own this.
Yeah.
Because they're in a unique position to do this.
Then how do you figure out how to monetize it? That's the thing. Because if you get all this data and make, you know, it's wide open. There's so much you could do with it.
Selling watches.
selling apps. Yeah.
If you want to know if you're going to be sick, you need an Apple Watch. I mean, that's a no-brainer sale, I think.
And you get in-app purchases. Do you want to know if you have the flu? Do you want to know if it's allergies? Do you want to know if it's COVID? That's $1.99.
No, it's not that. It's not that bad. Oh, that brings up something, though. I do have an interesting thing here. Okay. Apple News Plus. Do either of you have a subscription?
I do.
No.
Do you, Vincent?
No. I don't.
Okay. I had a subscription. I turned it off a couple weeks ago. start, you know, cutting back on expenses and things that are going on. It's like, okay, sure. Don't use it that much. I turned it off. You know what I noticed? I get a lot of stories in my Apple News feed that I can't read now.
Exactly. That's what happened to me.
Which is infuriating.
Annoying.
When it says, these are the five top things you must do when you go shopping at a grocery store. Click on it. Sorry, you can't read this unless you pay.
It's very annoying. And it's usually the top two or three stories you're going to click.
Right. And Apple should know better than to do that.
100%.
If you turn off Apple News Plus, do not show me articles I cannot read. Mm-hmm. Even when you had Apple News Plus, you would get some that would be New York Times, Wall Street Journal, certain ones you had to have a subscription to separately in order to read. Mm-hmm. You know, don't do that, Apple.
Yeah, you have to tune it. You have to tune Apple News to figure out what outlets you want to receive things from.
Yeah,
like,
but doesn't
I had to turn off like Washington Post and the New York Times because, you know, those are all behind a paywall and all that stuff. So
they're all paid. Yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't that affect what news you get?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I go there.
I'm just tired of. Yeah, I mean, if I turn all that off, I'm going to get real tired of reading just about Star Wars and science fiction. You know, it's all going to be down to an Apple Watch. That's going to be it.
Right.
And none of those are behind a paywall. But anyway, sorry, I digress. let's move on. One of our listeners, and I'm sorry I don't have the name in front of me, mentioned this on Facebook. And I just thought it was kind of a really wild thing. It is called Mudra Band. And let me show you what that looks like. This is a, zoom in so far. So what this is, it says goodbye to nose tapping. Turn Apple Watch into a one-handed device. Okay, what they mean by nose tapping, of course, is when you do this with your nose.
Yeah.
Because your hands are full, right? But you want to see something. Mm-hmm. So what they've done, this is all done with gestures, I guess. The first gesture control band for the Apple Watch. You can keep using your watch even when your hands are full. If you're wearing gloves, you have wet hands, or you're in the bathroom, whatever, you can not touch your Apple Watch, which is a good thing now. We don't want to be touching things right now. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Look at this. You can accept or dismiss a call just by putting your finger to your thumb. Didn't we see a patent for this a long time ago? This is very familiar.
We did. We talked about it. Yeah.
And I don't know if it was from Apple or from these people.
But it was Apple patent.
Was it? They need to get this out soon. They're going to be Sherlocked. Pause, play, or skip songs. Look at that with your thumb action there and your fingers. Activate Siri by just holding it together long enough for Siri to activate. You can set a timer with it. Capture pictures and video. Look at that. Take a picture. Click. That's pretty handy. If you're in the picture, just go click with your hand. I love that. It says here, you just put it on like a regular band. Look at the sensors that are built into this thing. Look at all those sensors right there. You adjust it and lock it. So apparently right here, it's a one size fits all. It looks like it's adjustable right here to fit. It's turning nerve impulses into action. So it's reading your nerve impulses. It's a $1.99 early bird special. They haven't even hit Kickstarter yet, I don't think. If I signed up for it, you click on that, you give them your email, and they will let you know when it's on Kickstarter to start.
So here's a couple things I noticed. First, why is the dollar sign after the $1.99?
Don't know.
Okay. That tells me a lot about who built the website.
Maybe it's from where they're from.
Yes. And second, so Google any country that puts their sign after the money, and that's where it was built, I guess.
Yeah,
sure.
And second, they made the website look like an Apple website.
Oh, 100%. Why wouldn't you? Yeah, would definitely. But if you click order now, see, you just sign up.
You're just signing up to get pre notified.
Right. It says they will be launching, not launching, but launching the Mudra Band on Indigo in May of 2020.
You just tell me when you sign up and when you get it, and I'll buy one.
I don't know. I've been burned.
Sponsored by Camera.
Yeah,
I've been luck with bands.
I've been burned on a couple of these so far. I'm still waiting for the one called Bat Free, which is a battery band. Still haven't heard what's going on with that one. I gave them some money.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. I may wait for someone else to do it. But I have a question. If it's what did it say, $199? Mm-hmm. That's the Indigo price? What's the regular price?
Yeah.
$300? Wow. Okay.
Maybe.
Infinity, because it's never going to happen.
It has to replace my nose. So.
I love the idea. I love that someone's sort of done it. At least they've created videos that show it working. It doesn't mean it is working. But anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes for that. If you do want to try, test your luck there and see if you can't get something for that. What else? A couple more things, and I think we're about done with the news here. Peloton, the company that makes all the kind of subscription classes with their exercise equipment, which is doing a booming business right now. I mean, everybody's stuck at home and you want to exercise. Yeah. I didn't think twice about maybe ordering one of these things. You know, it's like, how long are we going to be in isolation? This is kind of a good idea. Again, this is from Zach at 9to5Mac, because he's all over Peloton as well, but they now have an official Apple Watch app. Okay. For viewing your workout, initially they had one where you could track what was going on the watch, but apparently this new app, I think you can do a whole lot more with it. It looks like you can get your pace, your distance, all kinds of stuff from it. You can change the music, adjusting the digital crown. So they've launched a more robust app here for Peloton. So if you're into Peloton, check that out, because that sounds like a lot of fun. It pairs
with the actual bike and the treadmill.
Pardon?
It pairs with your bike. It actually pairs with the bike.
Peloton is the system with the bike. Yeah.
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 Yeah. The Peloton bike.
Right. And apparently they have a treadmill too, I think.
Mm-hmm. They do. Mm-hmm. I believe they do. Yeah.
Now, this is the kind of thing, one of the things from Apple not that long ago that looked to me like the changes or the rumors we heard for activity stuff with videos and whatnot sounded like they were kind of stepping on Peloton's toes a little bit. They might be getting into some of that too. But we'll see. Anyway, pretty cool if you're into Peloton. And then the last thing I want to talk about, this is from John Prosser, who's a tech columnist. He does a lot of stuff. Lately, he's been making a lot of predictions on Twitter and stuff, and he's been right about a number of them. But he's now saying that Apple is going to launch new over-the-ear headphones. We talked about that, AirPods.
Yep. Yep.
And that they're phasing out Beats.
Yeah, that was the kicker. What? Interesting.
It's got quite the case here he's built for that. He's saying he's got the code names and everything for the over-the-ear headphones, new AirPods X is what he's calling it, and then eventually phasing out Beats, that Apple will release these with the Apple logo, Apple branding, but that they're eventually replacing all their Beats products with them, including a new one called Beats X, which is supposed to be about $200 coming out in the fall. Prosser thinks that Apple's goal here is to phase out Beats altogether, which is kind of weird. They spent $3 billion for Beats when they bought them, and they've absorbed all of their technology and their people and everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've gotten their money's worth out of it and they want to move on. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If you had to bet on one brand going forward, I would choose Apple.
Sure.
Beats is great, but Apple has much bigger recognition, right?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in some ways it makes sense. In another way, it doesn't make any sense. So I don't know what to believe here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had all these questions about why Apple would be coming out with all these AirPod versions of things that Beats has already got covered. This is why, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. Well, the over the ear devices are pretty nice. I've seen more and more of those for when people are traveling or when they used to travel. And even walking around, I saw more people with over the ear versus just in ear. So I think it's a growing market.
I mean, I would love to have a pair of these that are Apple.
Yeah.
That have all the AirPod technology in them. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic.
And you can do the same things, you know, touch and tap to do different things.
Mm-hmm. But it'd be kind of neat. Yeah. And having Siri control and all that. I mean, this is just a dumb set of headphones right now. These are cheap. But I don't even know what brand these are. I have no idea. Just for monitoring the voice and hearing what's going on. They're not for anything else, but it'd be nice to have all that technology in them and use them for other things.
I came across a headline that said a husband is saving his marriage in this quarantine because he has noise canceling hair.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, turn them on. Turn them on. Use them if you got them. Yeah. It is pretty funny.
To the show. Yeah.
My office is upstairs. My wife's is downstairs, but it's an open entryway, so you can kind of hear between. But if she's listening to something on TV that I don't want to hear because I'm working on something else, I'll put them in and go bing. And it doesn't go away, but it does diminish it to where I can concentrate more. Mm-hmm. I can see why that person said that. It's not that it was really much of a problem before, but if you have the ability, why not? Right.
Right.
So.
Sure.
All right. So what do you guys think about it? You think Beats is going away?
I think so. It's easier to manage one brand.
Yeah. And for Apple.
It's more complexity.
Yeah. Name another company that Apple bought and kept the name and kept it running forever.
I was going to say it's not going away to be maybe the outlier between you guys, but eventually, well, I don't know if they're going to do it yet, but it's a well-known brand. So I don't think killing it would be the right thing to do right now, maybe down the future, in the future.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to happen immediately, but if these new two or three products start to replace the Beats, then eventually Beats will go away. Mm-hmm. I think that's the long-term plan. And most companies do that, by the way. When they buy something, it goes away.
Yeah, buy software company, buy a hardware company, eventually integrated in.
Sherlock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. all right, anything else in the news that I...
That was pretty good.
May have missed here. I think we got everything.
We're on a run of a decent amount of shows with stuff to talk about.
I'm amazed. This can't last.
I'm just glad because we have 5-minute podcasts when people need something to listen to.
Yeah. I mean, eventually we're going to run out of stuff, which is kind of sad when I think about, I hear all the different TV shows and movies that are on hold, which tells me if this goes on for very much longer through the year, we're going to run out of content too. Mm-hmm. All your shows,
the Amazon Prime ads for buying things that are in theater right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You can, even on Apple, on Apple's site, you can buy their $20 to rent.
Yeah.
What was currently in the theater.
Yeah.
Which I guess you figure it's normally $10 or $12. Plus, they figure you're going to have several people watching it at once.
Yeah.
So 20 doesn't sound that horrible.
No, it's a deal.
I mean, when's the last time you went to the movie theater with a couple of people and only spent $20? Probably never.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At least not decades ago, maybe.
It would have to be.
Dollar theater.
Well, that's true. The dollar theater. $2 theater. Those are still around from time to time.
Are they? Are they still around?
There's some, yeah.
Wow. I'm afraid there won't be any theaters left. At this rate,
that's a tough one.
How do you bring them back? I mean, that's going to be tough. But yeah, I'm waiting to see. These are all movies that were in the theater that you can get now. Mm-hmm. What happens to those that were supposed to be released? And they postponed a bunch of them, But what is the price going to be when it's a brand new movie that hasn't even been in the theater? Mm-hmm. Same price, they're not going to make their money, but I don't know.
But you know that Regal Cinemas headquarters is in Knoxville. They were bought out by someone a couple years ago, though.
Yeah, so. They've all consolidated. There's only like two major chains now.
Cinemax, not Cinemark.
Cinemark, yeah. it actually may be a good thing that there's only some really big ones, because they may be able to weather the storm.
They do.
These smaller ones may be gone. What's the one where you sit down and have dinner? And
Yeah, those are out there now.
Yeah, there's a chain of them here. I can't think of the name.
Alamo Draft House.
Yes, Alamo Draft House.
Yeah. Studio Movie Grill. Yeah, those are. Yeah. I mean, that's a double whammy. That's a theater and a restaurant.
Yeah, that's to say, it's one thing to sit in a theater six seats away from someone, but to then have someone come up and hand you food. No.
Right.
Not going to happen. Yeah. All right, let's move.
A beer would be all right. Right? Okay. Food, maybe not, but a beer, you're in.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. A lot of the theaters were putting in bars and stuff too.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple, or at least one in Knoxville now that has food and alcohol served to you.
Our AMC theater has a bar. Okay. Let's move on to what we like this week. And let's see. I think I'll kick it off here. Be a little different. What I like this week is they came in finally. I've been wearing one through the whole show. Are the new spring bands? Can't even speak anymore. The new spring bands from Apple, and I'll put a little deal up here for you. So obviously it's at apple.com that you can get them. But I am wearing, this is the if you can see the neon lime.
Yeah, I do.
Which is nice, bright neon nice color. This is the vitamin C version.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. And then this one.
That looks much nicer in person than it does on the website, vitamin C.
And then this one is the sunshine. See the bright yellow band. So I thought these were very spring and even summer-like. I think these would be nice. So I've got those. I think, Vincent, I'm going to credit you with this. But I think you referred to these types of bands as the, what'd you call them? They were the sweatpants of Apple Watch bands. Okay. Did you say that before? Maybe I'm just imagining that.
That's exactly what Apple wants you to say.
But by that, I mean the fact that they are completely adjustable.
Yeah.
You can loosen them when you need to. One size fits all, and they're very comfortable. So
you can throw them in the wash.
Yeah. You can throw them in the wash. They are the sweatpants of Apple Watch bands. And I find myself, that's all I'm wearing these days. And that's why I got a few more, was because, you know, might as well have some different colors. But I will say, when you go outside, Chris, you mentioned how nice these looked in person. Mm-hmm. When you go outside in the sunlight, they're even more vibrant.
Oh, no kidding.
It kind of took me by surprise when I was like, whoa, I thought these looked good inside, but out in the sunshine, they look fantastic. And I love trying to match up my watch face with the bands, the different colors. Kind of get into that now with these. And I'll put a link in the show notes, but I think everybody knows where to get them right there. It's at apple.com. Now, one unusual thing happened when I ordered these. I ordered them all at the same time. And there's three of them. Came in three different shipments and in three different boxes, but they were all delivered at the same time. Wow. That is
different warehouses?
Supply chain inefficiency or three different warehouses.
Yeah. But they all hit at exactly the same time. But what a waste in shipping materials, labels, tracking, all that energy when they all could have been put in one box. Right?
Certainly, yeah.
So anyway, I was a little disappointed with that. Okay, now that was what I like this week. Now a quick what I don't like this week. Okay. Besides the obvious, the pandemic. But that is, again, it has to do with switching watch bands and my stand goal. And I know I keep talking about this, but I finally figured out what's going on here. So I noticed that I would miss a stand goal that I had just received. Okay, on my watch, if I switched watches at that time, it didn't record it.
Wait, what? No, so you switched the watch, not the band.
The watch. Switching watches.
Like take one off and put another one on.
Correct. I have a watch I sleep with at night that I wear, and then I have one for the day.
Right.
So I'm switching it twice a day, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of to confirm this, I went for a run with what was my sleeping watch. I forgot to switch it, right? And the only reason I knew that was I got a low power alert halfway through my run. It's like, oh crap, I'm wearing the wrong watch. I'm going to run out of power. But the power did last. I made it through the run. I put it on the charger as soon as I got home. And I had about 3 stand goals at that point when I put on the other watch. And it eventually saw those 3 and it adjusted. Takes a few minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So later in the morning, when I knew the watch was fully charged, I switched it again. This time it was just after the hour. Okay. So I had just made my 6th stand goal for the day. Mm-hmm. I switched watches and I noticed that on this watch, it only showed 4. And if I got up and walked around a little bit and it went to 5, but it never went to 6, which was what the other watch showed. It should have been 6 at this point.
Yeah, because it syncs back to your phone, doesn't it?
Right. So I looked at my phone. My phone showed 5. And you know those little bars that you see each hour? Sure. And they light up when you complete the stand goal?
Yeah.
One of them was blank. It wasn't even dimmed out. It was just blank.
Yeah, that's just a miscommunication. Because dim means you just didn't do it, right?
Right. Dim means you haven't hit it yet for that hour.
Right. Dark means it missed the data point.
It missed it completely. So the hour that I just got before switching was only showing up on that other watch. Okay. Hmm. Which was very strange. So I switched watches again. And when I put it on, I saw it had 6, right? It did show the 6 hours. And after a few minutes, my phone did catch up and said 6. So I switched back again. And eventually the one that only had 5 at that point caught up to 6.
Whew, okay. I'm tired, Tom. That's a lot of switching watches.
Tell me about it. So if I had not caught that, if I had just switched watches and moved on with my day and looked back, I would have had a lost hour. Mm-hmm. So I guess if the thing is, if you're doing this, there's a lag of 3 to 5 minutes before the phone and the watch sync activity data. So if you change your watch before that sync happens, you lose what you just got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And because it was baffling me why every now and then, no rhyme or reason, I would lose an hour of my stand goal. So that's what it is. So if you have 2 watches, you switch between them, just something to be aware of is to do it early enough after, or long enough after you switched or gotten your hour stand, that then switch your watch. But make sure it's all there first.
I wonder what the frequency of it updating to the phone is. I mean, in terms of the sync, because it is, I mean, the source of the data, I'm assuming, would be reconciled at the phone. And then from there, it just pushes back out to the watch.
Push back out, right.
And it has to figure out which one's an overlapping one. Have you ever worn your watch, both of them at the same time, and then waited for it to sync?
No, you can't. You can't do that. No. It's only going to do one or the other.
But does it lock the other one as soon as you switch over?
I don't know. I've never tried to fool it. But I will try that now. I will try putting both on.
Just one syncs with the phone, though.
Well, what's going to happen is you got to unlock them. Yeah. And you can't unlock them exactly at the same time. Whichever one gets in first, I think, is going to be the one.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. So anyway, I know it's a problem not many people have, but it was driving me nuts. It was driving me nuts.
It's a standing problem.
Yeah, I have a standing problem. Standing. Yeah, it's an outstanding problem. That's what it is. It's an outstanding problem. But okay. All right, Chris, what do you got this week?
Tom, I have a couple quick ones. So the first one is a story that came up across my feed. And over the years I've been on the show, I've kind of mentioned I'm a college football fan. So anytime I can connect an Apple Watch and a college football, it's thumbs up. So the SEC is looking into Alabama players using Apple Watches for workouts. So Nick Saban, who's a coach of the Alabama team, him and his strength coach got Apple Watches for the whole group, which I'm not sure how you can do that anyway. I thought you can't give gifts to college players, but that's a different story. So they got all the watches, they gave them to the team because obviously they everyone's working out independently at their house, apartment, or wherever they're living during the shutdown. And they wanted to see who was doing what. And they were going to do heart rate, sleep, exercise, you know, the whole gamut of activity for the Apple Watch. So the first thing was a couple coaches took a swipe at him and said, hey, I don't need Apple Watches to know my kids are working out. So that's kind of funny. That's just good old, you know, college stick on each other. But it turns out that it may not be, I don't know if it's legal or against some guidelines to do it, because you're going to be monitoring people's personal information without, you know, without, I guess everyone have to sign an agreement or some kind of release of information. So a guy named Matt Self, who's the Alabama Senior Associate Athletic Director, say that five times fast, he's looking to see if it's compliant or not. So they're still doing it. They're collecting the data, and people are, I guess, are sharing. They must be sharing all their information. So just think about your Apple Watch and your activities. You must have, you know, 75 people on there. That's a heck of a lot of notifications coming.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But they're trying to do it. So it doesn't give a lot of detail on how they're doing it, but they're definitely being looking to see if it can be done. So I think it's interesting that it's an interesting idea that the Alabama team had, and take away the swipes of the other coaches, because that's just what they do to each other. But it may be the future, right? To see what the players are doing. And then you can track them, and in today's world you can't, but in the new world, hey, if someone goes into a place they're not supposed to go in, you can, you know, send them a message and say, get out of there. Right.
Can you imagine what a challenge would be like? An activity challenge?
Yeah, exactly.
For that many people?
The coaches would lose, guarantee that.
But, yeah.
But it would be pretty cool. And on a side note, I'm about to do this. And since you bring that up, I'm about to post in my company teams, the main teams room, to see who wants to, you know, because we're all kind of working out on our own. Everyone's kind of at home around the world. I was going to see who had Apple Watches and wanted to exchange emails to do the activity challenge and do like a weekly activity challenge with my company, which would be kind of cool. So I just been asking people, and they say it'd be a good idea. So I'm about to post that, but that's not part of my like this week, but that was one of them, was the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Apple Watches. So that was cool. The second one, Tom, you can throw the website up there.
Okay.
This came across this week too. This c4belts.com, C as in Charlie, number 4, belts.com, has these dog breed Apple Watch bands. We're a dog family. My daughter loves dogs. She sees a dog, it's coming home, right? Well, used to. She's gone now. She lives on her own, but she can have all the pets she wants in her place. But it's kind of cool. Look at these watch bands. I mean, there's 40 different breeds just on this main page here. And if you click them, they're kind of nice, and these are in alphabetical order, but you got every kind of breed you want to have on your Apple Watch. So I think that's kind of cool. If you're a dog lover, go buy one. If you know someone who has an Apple Watch as a dog lover, go get it. Unlike the watch band we just looked at, these are, you can buy them. They're out there. And they're $34, so it's not bad. It kind of bridges the gap between the cheap band and the expensive band. So, I'm sorry, Vincent.
They're illustrations. I thought they were zoomed out. I thought they were photos or something. But yeah,
yeah.
Someone actually drew these. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So they're really neat. So that's another thing I like this week. I thought that was really ingenious, and I'm going to probably buy one.
they have your breed there. They got the right.
Yeah, one. I have to pick. I mean, I'm pretty much any dog that comes up to me and I can pet, I like, right? I like dogs, but I'd have to look through these and see which one I really want. But we have a Maltese, you know, so, you know, but I'm not sure I like that watch band.
Oh, you have a Maltese?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a Maltipoo.
Oh, do you?
Maltese poodle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similar. Quite similar. That's what I was looking at.
I'm sure just as neurotic as ours is.
there's always going to be breeds that people want that they don't have.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's impossible. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, I mentioned the different trade shows that we go to, and, one of the companies makes these applique designs, and they do dogs, and they've got a ton of them, but they opened a can of worms when they started doing breeds, because they had to do all of them. But the ones they don't do are the mixed breeds, because that just opens it up even further. Now you're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. These people have the same problem. They only got to hit the popular ones, I guess, to start with, but you can get a generic one. You just get a paw print here.
Yeah. You can get a paw print. That
just, that's, yeah.
That works too.
Yeah. Nice. All right. I'll put
all the veterinarians out there.
Yep. I'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Yeah.
All right. Vincent, what do you got?
Yeah, I have a simple one that I came across when I just kind of perusing the Apple Watch Reddit channel. And there's a user by the name of Dr. Gene Parmesan. That's not his real name, obviously. That's arrested above. But he is a pulmonary and critical care doctor in New York City. Uh-huh. That I'd love to be able to reach out to him and talk to him. But he has recently recovered from COVID. And he was obviously out for a few days. And he posted that he had noticed, based upon his resting heart rate relative to his regular resting heart rate, that there was a spike during the time mm-hmm. where he was starting to show symptoms of COVID. And it's actually pretty interesting to be able to track that. I mean, it kind of relates to the things that we were talking about.
Cardiogram.
Cardiogram. And, you know, just to be able to have all those things. But it was just fascinating being able to read through the thread. You know, he said it was indispensable for his recovery. It helped him let him know when his heart rate was increasing. It recognized when he was dehydrated. The screenshot was the week before I had symptoms in the morning of my resting heart rate increased. And initial symptoms were shortness of breath, low-grade fever, anorexia, and dehydration. Hmm. And so then he was admitted to the hospital. He was very dehydrated, but he was wearing his watch as often as he could. I mean, that's kind of one of the things. I mean, like, if, you know, God forbid, you know, if you get it, I mean, that's kind of interesting to just see what kind of data you capture during that time. Mm-hmm. He was using the heart rate function to guide his hydration status, which helped a lot because, I mean, during this time, you're so lethargic that you're not, like, you know, eating correctly or you're not mm-hmm. drinking enough water. He said that he burned 754 calories just sitting on the couch because of the shortness of breath.
And oh, I'm my, like, gosh.
Yeah, worst diet ever. But
yeah,
kind of the thing that, I mean, it's just like I said, it's completely fascinating. So he was just telling tips on how to deal with it. And he was like, hydrate, eat small calorie dense meals, sleep on your belly. That's a new one. Get up and stretch. Don't be lazy. Shelter in place type of person. And then obviously seek medical attention when you're short of breath. And then find testing if you can. But like, it's a really interesting thread on the Reddit channel. And I followed him, but we're going to see if I can reach out and chat with him. He also has an invention that he's working on in terms of helping. It's similar to a CPAP machine, kind of force air into your lungs. So he's working on that as well. So it's very cool to have that perspective from a medical professional wearing the Apple Watch, having also gone through the COVID crisis. So it's kind of really good information.
Yeah, really reach out to him and see. We'd love to do a show with him on here. Have him out as a guest and talk to him about it if he has some time. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, that's, again, that's what the cardiogram app was talking about, was your heart should be able to tell you ahead of time when you're getting sick. Right. But to be able to track it through an illness gives you all kinds of data. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
That's a great story.
Send me the link and I'll put it in the show notes as well. Vincent, so people can read that. All right. Well, let's answer some questions here. Let's see. If you have any questions, now's the time. We're going to start answering a few of them here, some listener feedback. Carol Diaz, what are some of your most used apps on the watch? With the amount of apps you guys must use, I'm sure you're testing all the time, but what has stuck as a daily need over the years? You know, it's funny because, yes, we've tested at this point. Partway into this, I had actually started to count and keep track of the number of apps that and I lost track, but we're talking hundreds here.
Oh, and easily.
And of all of those, you still only use a handful every day. You find the ones and those change throughout the year, throughout time, your life changes, whatever's more important, or you find a new app to do something, or you find one that isn't as useful as it used to be to you. But yeah, I guess I'll start. The probably the most used app on my watch is the weather. You know, I'm using dark sky and carrot weather for some of those. But I have to say, a lot of those I'm just getting from complications on my watch face. Mm-hmm. I find myself not diving into apps as much anymore as I used to, because the complications have gotten so good on the different screens. That and the obvious, the workout app, you know, used a lot, music app used a lot. Those are probably the top three for me. I don't know about you guys, what you use.
Yeah, I would say that. And then I use reminders all the time, because I have a complication for reminders and I live off reminders. So, you know, it's on my iPad, my phone, and my watch. So reminders is heavily used app that I have every day.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's dark sky and sadly enough, Outlook. I'm actually trying to catch up on little bits of email there and there all the time. So it's there.
Yeah,
and the remote app. I mean, I think I guess of the app that I use the most is remote. Especially during the dinner table, and I'll like, you know, broadcast something to the Apple TV for music and such.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, I guess when I do use every, I don't use it every day, but I do. I use it every night. Auto sleep.
Oh yeah.
I find myself tap, and I've been very diligent about tapping on lights off when I go to bed. So it is now very accurate in the amount of. It wasn't as accurate before when the auto part of auto sleep was working for me at least. I don't know what I was doing, but anyway. Well, Carol says thank you for answering. You're welcome, Carol. So I guess where are we now? We're an hour. We're over an hour already.
Oh no!
Yeah, we're over an hour. I guess we're kind of just about done here. Unless anybody had any other questions, maybe we'll answer them after the show. So is there, let's see, what was I going to say this week? Is there anything else before we have to check our watch to find out what day of the week it is?
All right.
Yeah, do you find yourself doing that since you've been quarantined?
I'm getting better at it.
You're getting better. Okay.
I was just saying it today, cause when I travel, I leave Tuesday morning, come back Thursday night, and it was rhythmic. You know, I just every week did that. Now I kind of know when it's Thursday and Friday, where before I didn't. So I'm getting better.
I actually have to look every now and then. Is this a weekend? Is it trash day? I don't know. I have to go. Do I need to put the trash cans out?
When you were younger, you could do it by what's on TV that night, because you would watch TV and you know what shows were on. Now you don't even do that because everything's recorded. And I don't watch TV. I read books or read online.
Yeah.
So it's just, you could just look up and say, I have no idea what day it is.
Your lights just went out there.
My light just went. You know what that is? That's a Philips Hue light. I just realized that the amount of time it, 1 hour and 7 minutes, it works without a charge.
Oh, look at that.
Because it just died.
It's funny. All right.
You guys can't see me at all.
All right. Well, there you are. Okay. We can sort of see you. Well, hey, if you're if
1 hour,
to,
7 minutes. That's what you get.
If you're listening
out of
to
that.
This on audio, it doesn't really matter. But I guess that is definitely a signal that that's all the time we do have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. And thank you, everybody, listening live. We really do appreciate it. If you'd like to support our show, and let's see if I can do this fancy, because I set this whole thing up. Let's see if I can get this to go. There we go. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service that you prefer. If you have a question for us, either about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll try to get to that. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay inside, and until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.